December 11th through the 17th, 1977, in Cleveland, Ohio, the Born Again Messages with Brother Titus Chu. Message 8.
Brothers, don't look down at the matter of baptism. Amen. Don't think this is a ritual. Yes, we agree with the fact that the Christianity has practiced it into a place it turns out to be a ritual. It is meaningless. Those who got the sprinkling where they were just born, it wouldn't mean a thing. Even many, after they were really born again, then they began to be baptized, they still wouldn't realize there are such rich content in this matter of baptism. They think baptism means they enroll themselves into a certain denomination. For instance, I'm baptized in the Baptist church. Therefore, I will be a Baptist. If I'm baptized in the Church of Christ, therefore, I will be a member of the so-called, quote, Church of Christ. Brothers, we never realize the baptism has such deep meaning in the presence of God. First, the baptism tells us, Mark 16:16, that if believe and baptize, you will be saved. That means the baptism not only testifying you are of the Lord, also the baptism testifying from now on, you have nothing to do with Satan. You have nothing to do with the world. You have nothing to do with sin. You have nothing to do with anything that is negative in this universe. Who are you? You are a separated person. Many brothers testified where they are sharing. Before they were baptized, they always realized something was following them. They're saved. They love the Lord. They love the meetings. They enjoy the Lord. They give themselves to the Lord. But for some reason, they realize they are not fully cut off from all the things that should be negative. The negative things are following them all the time. Even you go to your office, if you begin to tell your colleagues, praise the Lord, I was saved yesterday, they would ask you, have you been baptized? If you say no, they would say, you still have time to have some more beer. You still have time to watch a few more movies. Until one day you get baptized, then you tell them, not only I am saved, I was also baptized last night. You know what's happened? That is a strong testimony to tell them, dear friends, don't bother me anymore. Amen. From now on, I have nothing to do with the world. I have nothing to do with the kingdom, with the power of Satan. I have nothing to do with the sinful things on this earth. And I have nothing to do with anything that is negative in this universe. From now on, I am saved. Don't look down at the small saved. They saved, surely, not only bring you to eternity, but also grant you a full salvation even today. Praise the Lord for this. You believe in Jesus, you are saved. But when you are baptized, you are saved practically. You are saved much more where you live on this earth. Surely, I like to ask, you know, young brother, this is the first time you are here, right? And I was surprised you are so bold. You stand up, give us a sweet, wonderful testimony. Have you been baptized? Praise the Lord, you have been. And I tell you, brother, we all have to realize that to be baptized is not a small thing. And more than this, the baptism is a remission of sin. You need to repent to receive Jesus Christ. But you need to be baptized to have the remission of the sin. That means you need to be baptized to clear up all your old records. Nothing can bother you anymore. If the little Satan would come to you whispering to you, do you remember 3 years ago you have done a certain thing and that was so shameful? You just have to tell him, little Satan, don't you know all that was baptized in the water in a certain day? To me, I would say, do you know, little Satan, don't you remember in 1953, January the 17th, this man was in the water, and all the old record was baptized right over there. And more than that, I would tell Satan, Satan, don't you know, even you were thrown in there by me. Now, what are you coming to tell me about, you little dead devil ghost? Get away from here, you know. Don't look down at the matter of baptism. And never take it as a ritual. It is a remission of the sin. So first, it is a protection. Second, it is a remission. Thirdly, it is a burial. Am I right? We buried with Christ. And fourthly, it is a resurrection. We, those who are baptized, we raise up with Christ. And fifthly, it is a putting on of Christ as our daily life. Day by day, our living is by putting on this wonderful Christ. Brothers, you know, whatever you put on, that is your life. You put on Christ, therefore your life is just the displaying of this Christ. More than this, sixthly, the baptism shows you are baptized into the body. From now on, you are no longer free. You know, Cassie, are you free? You are free? I'm sorry. You have to tell me, no, Titus, I'm not free. You know why? Because you're baptized into the body. Once you're baptized into the body, I tell you, there's a lot of members surrounding you and will not let you to be so free. Do you know you made one mistake? You know that? That is, one night you come to tell me your name's Cassie and you appreciate what I say. So I remembered you. Then you are in trouble. Right? Otherwise, you will be so fine. I will not bother you. You won't bother me. But this is also a strong proof that you should, or you are. Have you been baptized yet? No. Then you have been baptized into the body. Therefore, there's another member. This member's function is to bother you. His name is Titus. Do you know that? He's always sitting in front of you, in the back of you. He's always bothering you. Why don't you stand up? Why don't you give a testimony? Why don't you say something? How can you miss a meeting? Why don't you be excited? Why don't you release your spirit? You know, Titus got a special function. You know, that is to bother many members in the body. Give them no peace. How about that, Cassie? Have you ever realized you are baptized into the body? Do you know, 1953, January the 17th, at about 8:30 that time, there was a young man, only 17, 18 years old, jumped into the water. Am I right? And nobody prayed for me because 450 baptized that night. So there's no time to pray. So you jump in, all what they do, you jump into, they just throw in the water, get you out and throw you away, and then get another one. They just, that's all what they do. But they do put one thing, they say, brother, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, then out. Then another one, I baptize in the Father and my Father, Son and the Holy Spirit, out. But anyway, whether they pray, they didn't pray, they do this, it do not, makes no difference. At that moment, praise the Lord, I was baptized into the body. Amen. Now it's 25 years. It's more, just about another, how much? 1 month, right? One more month, because today is 17th. So exactly 1 more month. 1 more month, I'll be baptized exactly 25 years. Am I right? Or 26? 25, right? I'll be baptized exactly 25 years. And I tell you, brother, I'm so happy that I was not baptized into a membership of a religion. I was baptized into the body of Christ.
Amen.
You know this, young brother? Were you baptized into a religion or were you baptized into the body of Christ? Hallelujah. Can you tell me it was a bolder, louder spirit, the voice, bolder spirit? I was, hallelujah, baptized into the body. Can you do that with me? Could you stand up with Jiang? Jiang is always excited anyway. How about we three? All get excited. How about that? We testify to all of them, and we even let the little demon see. We tell the demon, you know, the little demon, watch us. You have always been bothering us, but we want through in the water, right? Let all the angels, all the demons, and all the brothers and sisters here listen to our voice, that we proclaim that we were baptized into the body. Amen. What should we say, brother? You tell me, what should we say?
We were baptized into the body.
Okay, how about we say, praise the Lord, we were baptized into the body. One, two, three. Praise the Lord, we were baptized into the body.
Amen.
How about you say, brother? You say it by yourself.
Praise the Lord, I'm baptized into the body.
Amen. Amen. How about do it again?
Praise Lord,
slower, slower, okay.
Praise the Lord.
Amen, yeah. I was baptized into the body. How about that? How about you do it this way? Can you do it? Follow me the way I do it, okay? You just go ahead and do it. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
I was baptized into the body.
Amen.
Can you say it again? I'm sorry, it's hard on you. Can you say it again?
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I was.
Amen.
Baptized.
Amen.
Into.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How about that?
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. How about you, Cassie? Where were you baptized into?
Praise the Lord. I
yeah.
Amen!
That's good. So I'd like to ask you a little bit. Are you saved? Are you saved? Are you a brother?
I am a brother.
Are you a Christian?
I am a Christian.
You are a Christian. You believe in Jesus.
I believe in Jesus.
Hallelujah! Amen. Then can you say that? I want to be baptized into the body.
I want to be baptized into the body.
Amen. How about you stand up? Let everybody see you.
Yeah. I want to be baptized into the body.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Don't look down this. Don't look down this. I tell you, if you know how degraded Christianity is, you would treasure this kind of statement. I tell you, you have many older ones here. Many of you were in Bible school, right? And not many of you. A number of you were in Bible school. A number of you even had been clergy. Or a number of you had hold the deacon's elder's office in different denominations. Let me ask you, have you ever heard something that clear as tonight?
No.
No, you see? Yeah, he was a pastor, right? No. You see, you never heard something so clear. The baptism is a clear cutoff to the whole world. The baptism is a remission of sin. The baptism is a barrier of the old man. The baptism is a resurrection with Christ. The baptism is a putting on of Christ. The baptism is a baptism into the body.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, kids, have you ever heard something like this? Never, you see? Many of us older ones, we would begin to treasure what we have heard. Why? Brother, these kind of truths were all hidden. Hidden in Christianity. The Christians doing this, doing that, doing this, doing that, never realize how wonderful Jesus Christ is. And never realize how rich the salvation Jesus Christ prepared for us. But now, hallelujah, tonight, through the mouth of the new ones, really out of the mouth of the babies and sucklings, there's something come out which is so profound, so deep, so clear. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now we can testify. Now there is really one baptism.
Amen.
If you see the previous 6 points, what else can you do but be one? It will be a shame for you to say, I baptize myself into the Baptist church. You have to say, well, Lord, you are so wonderful. You take care of everything, and when baptized into the body, no doubt, my testimony is a testimony of oneness.
Amen.
We all got into the water. We all come out of the water. We have a strong testimony to the whole universe. All the Christians who have received Jesus, who have get into the water, come out of the water. We all are one.
Amen.
We have one baptism.
Amen.
We don't care about denominations. We don't care about divisions. We don't care about teaching or doctrines. We surely care about the oneness of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And this is our testimony.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
I think now is the time to continue. Right? We have to end up early today. Right? We better, because I know many of you want to be baptized. At least some of you. So we better give you time to get baptized. Yeah. You do. Okay, you see? I will try 9:15. Give me 20 minutes. Be patient, okay? Give me 20 minutes. Then you can all go to the water. Yeah. Cool. Oh, I see. Okay. How about then? I just give you one verse, okay? Could you turn to Matthew? Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then comes Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized by him. Now, you notice, huh? Jesus had a desire to be baptized by John the Baptist. Am I right? But John forbade him. John was quite polite. Really, I believe he was a good coordinator or leader of that day's Christianity. Am I right? He was very nice. He told Jesus, he said, no. You can't be baptized by me, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. I should come to you to be baptized. And comest thou to me? You come to me to be baptized. To me, I should come to you. How come you come to me? Now, listen now, how Jesus answers. It's very interesting. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now. And thus it becomes us to fulfill our righteousness. I tell you, brother, baptism means the barrier, right? And it means the repentance, the fruit of repentance. And means the barrier, means the resurrection. Jesus never commit anything. No need for him to repent. And therefore, no need for him to die and to be buried. And therefore, definitely, John the Baptist is right. You should not be baptized. In turn, I should be baptized. But it was peculiar. Jesus said, no. There's something, we call it righteousness. This word is a hard translation. You can translate word as righteousness, or you take my word, in a way, just as my thing, because I'm not a scholar on these things. My understanding to this word, it can also be translated as etiquette. Do you know the word etiquette? You have to, when you do things, there's a certain procedure. When you do things, there's a certain way. You have to go through this way. It's etiquette. Is that clear? For Jesus, there's no need for him to be baptized. Yet when he was baptized, right? For what reason? For the reason of righteousness. Or, I use other words, for the reason of a proper etiquette. Then what happened? The Spirit come down upon him. Now, okay, brother, all the spiritual things are two sides. In the Bible, there are at least four signs. These four signs bears a very deep spiritual meaning. We don't have to cover them, right? The first sign is baptism. The second sign is the Lord's table. Why the loaf is there? Why the cup is there? And the Lord began to say, this is my body. This cup is a cup of blessing. Then in the other gospel he says, this is the blood I've shed for you. Right? Well, are you taking the body or not? No, we don't have time to cover it, right? The third sign is the hair covering. Some sisters cover their hairs. Now, of course, there's no law, but I do see some. Like, you know, Judy. Your name's Judy, right? Judy, right? You see, she covered it. You see, another one, Shirley, right? Some of the sisters cover their hairs. It's not a law, but some sister does it. You see, here's another sister, cover her hairs. There is a very deep spiritual meaning, right? And the fourth sign was the laying on of the hand. There are some signs in the Bible. And these signs all, to me, is a proper etiquette, a righteousness for us to fulfill. It will not add to the salvation, but it will testify the fullness of the salvation. Amen. Okay, I'm here. Brother, I'm here. Do you know what is my name? I don't need a name. I'm here already. Why should I need a name? No, I don't need it. I'm myself, right? Why should I have a name? I don't have a name. I still can eat. I can drink. You know, I can sleep. I can work. I can do everything. I don't need a name. You see, I'm moving around. I don't have to see. I don't need a name. See? Why should I have a name? I'm okay. Every part is okay. I don't need a name. This is, people usually say, the spiritual baptism. You got it already. You got it already. But I do need a name. If I don't need a name, I have no testimony. Everybody will point to that peculiar being. But when I have a name, there's a testimony. Whenever you say, Titus, you immediately begin to testify a certain person. That person was funny. That person was bothersome. That person was strong. That person sometimes filled with the Holy Ghost. Right? That Titus is a testimony of this very person. Do you know why should he be baptized? Now you got it. It is a matter of righteousness. It is a matter of proper etiquette. More, it is a strong testimony to where we are. Yes, spiritually speaking, physically speaking, I don't need a name. I'm a human being. A name never adds me another eye. I still have two eyes. Neither do I have two noses because my name's Titus. I still got only one nose. Am I right? And no matter how I name myself Titus or Tito, I still have only five fingers. It doesn't add a bit. But on the other hand, if I don't have my name, everything's gone. Nobody knows what's what. Now, many people today saying, as long as you're baptized spiritually, everything's okay. Brother, this is wrong. You must realize, even Jesus himself baptized. Why? For the proper etiquette. For the proper testimony. For the proper righteousness. So do us. Is that clear to you, brother? Is that clear? We all need a proper baptism to testify in the whole universe. Tell little Satan, Satan, come on, watch. Hear me. What's your name, brother? Rich. Come on, me, Rich. I am going into the water. Amen. Satan will say, I like to run away. Say, don't. I'm going to take you down. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Satan, I'm going to take you down. And tell him, little Satan, when I come out of the water, it will be a resurrected Rich. But sorry, Satan, you got buried right over there. Amen. You see? And you have to say, Satan, from now on, don't bother me. Because everything's washed right over there. Right. Buried right over there. Amen. And from now on, I would enjoy the riches of the church life by putting on this wonderful Christ. Amen. Isn't that clear? Isn't that clear? Everything goes to the water. Just like I got the name of Titus. It doesn't add me a thing. But if I don't have the name of Titus, I lose everything. You know what I mean? I got the name of Titus. What does it add to me? But when I don't have the name of Titus, if I don't have a name, I lose everything. I don't have a thing. Is that clear? You must have a name for what sake? Not for some physical gross reason, but for the testimony reason. Physically. Then, spiritually, you need to be baptized. Why? It doesn't mean Christ didn't do enough. Christ has accomplished everything, but the accomplishment of Christ needs to be experienced by those who testify these very facts. Is that clear? Now, do you want me to go on or you want to ask questions? I think we better go out, because otherwise we cannot finish even tomorrow night, and we have no more time. Am I right? We are already extending the training 2 more days. Am I right? Now, I go real fast. Now, I'll let you go 9:20. We said we have to enjoy Christ as our daily need, right? Yesterday we said mainly it's as life, as the bread of life, as the water of life, as the light of life, then most important, as the word of life. Christ is what? To be enjoyed by us as life. Every time you begin to enjoy Christ, what you receive? You begin to receive the abundance of life. If you don't believe, I'd like to ask some of you. You know, I'd like to ask. For instance, how about you, John? Well, you were here getting a little bit excited, some enjoyment, am I right? What do you experience afterward? Do you, could you, can you say, finally I feel that I proved myself quite smart, that I can speak in front of 250, 300 people, and I'm not afraid at all. You have that sense? Why? You did a good job. Every speaker, after they spoke, they will always have something. I'm the speaker. You lousy, dummy people, they are listening to me, and I am the speaker. Why don't you have this kind of feeling?
Christ.
Yeah, I tell you, you have to say, I just feel something here is quite full. Do you know what I'm talking about? Something here is quite full. What is that? That is the very life you have enjoyed. You begin to share something. You begin to say something. You begin to pray. You begin to sing a song. You begin to release your spirit. You begin to praise the Lord. Whatever you do, you're enjoying the Lord, what you receive. The first is a life. And the life come in as the bread of life, to be your strength, to be your living. As the water of life, to quench your thirst. As the light of life, for your walking. As the word of life, to energize you. Hallelujah. This is wonderful, right? More than this, let's go on. Sixthly, as grace, and seventhly, as reality. This is John 1:14. Am I right? It says he is full of grace and reality. You know, in Christianity, people like to pray, Lord, may your grace be with us. Could you tell me what does grace mean? Do you know what does grace mean? You know, in Christianity, many people say, Lord, I'm going to drive the car. I'm going to drive 2 hours. Will your grace be with me? You tell me, what is grace? What is grace? You just tell me, what is grace? I tell you, grace is a very enjoyment of Christ. If I enjoy the cooking of my wife, that is not grace, that is a favor. But if I enjoy my wife herself, that is what? That is grace. I tell you, my wife can be so gracious to me. Why? Because she's so nice to me, and her presence makes me happy. But suppose my wife is a hard person, always with a long face. Suppose she wasn't so, right? I suppose she was always a long face. Every time I saw her, I got scared to death. I dare not even move, just like a little mouse or mice. Little mouse seeing a cat. Then I tell you, every morning he would say, get up! I say, what? Breakfast is ready! So I go to the table. There's fried eggs, there's bacon, there's milk, there's toast, there's all kind of riches. I tell you, I can enjoy all this favor. I don't have any grace. I will live in trembling all the time. When I come back from my work, I'll be trembling. Oh, what is going to happen when I walk into my house? How will my wife's face look like? Suppose I walk in, his face was that long. Sit down. You just think about it. You just think about what kind of life I would have. But suppose my wife was so nice. In the morning, she gave me a kiss. Hallelujah. Then she take me down and give me a cup of tea. And her toast was overbaked or dark. And the bread and the egg is overcooked or overfried, whatever that is, just not so tasty. But she is so sweet. Do you know what I'm talking about? She's so nice. She would say, sorry, husband, I overbaked the egg. I'm sorry, the tea, I didn't make it right. I don't mean that, but I'm sorry. Do you want me make it for you again? You know, that person is filled with enjoyment. Then what do I have? I can assure you, in my family, I say, oh, surely this is a gracious family. This family is filled with grace. Our thought with the Lord is just like the wife I told you. Our Lord's face was that long, holding a pattern. Did you do anything wrong? If you did, come down. Kneel down. I'm going to pattern you. And we are even waiting. Some Christians are waiting. Lord, I did something wrong. Please, this time, don't punish me too much. We never realize the Lord's face wasn't long. The Lord's face was wrong. The Lord doesn't have a harsh face. The Lord has a smiling face all the time. And I tell you, who is he? He is your very enjoyment to be your grace. He's full of grace. Hallelujah. Grace means full of enjoyment of this very Christ himself. A Christian needs to enjoy Christ. Don't just enjoy the blessings of Christ. If you over-enjoy, you will be in trouble. Where we were eating, a sister told me, said, Titus, yesterday you said you can take care of headache. I got a headache. And I said, well, there's aspirin in the service office. No, she asked me first, is there any aspirin? I said, there's aspirin in the service office. Why? You cannot be healed. Actually, I realize if you release your spirit, you touch your spirit, all the aches will go. But the problem is, if I tell you I can heal you and I can take care of you, you know what I'm going to do? You are going to begin to develop a kind of taste, just like you like opium. Many Christians develop the taste of the gift and they never want the giver. They don't want Christ. They want all kind of gifts from Christ. That's why their Christian life is so poor, so disastrous. Hallelujah. With us, we can say, we don't care. What do? We do care for this very Christ, for his living person. I got a headache, toothache, stomachache, bellyache, muscle ache, skin ache, whatever ache is. But Lord Jesus, amen. I love you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I enjoy Christ himself as the very grace. And be sure he's full of grace. And then you have the reality. When you enjoy Christ as grace, then the reality is yours. Otherwise, I tell you, your life will be so empty. If you don't believe, I'd like to check with you, brothers, who just shared something. Are you full now? Aren't you full? Yes. Aren't you full? Yes. Why you are full? Because now you have the reality. What does that mean? Now you feel you don't want anything else. Everything is false. Everything's fake. You know, I travel a lot. Every place I go, I like to buy something. Am I right? So finally, I found out my house was filled with junks. Then I realized I shouldn't buy too much. But even though I shouldn't buy too much, I still want to buy something. Every time I go to Brazil, I like to buy stones. Last time, I don't know, I bought how many kilos stones. And really hard to bring back. Am I right? Okay, this time I went to buy stone again. And where I was shopping for stones, there was a deep voice within, you stupid boy. You don't have any reality. Surely I don't have any real reality. How could the stone be reality? I tell you, everything you take is false. Yeah. You got a promotion, that's not reality. Right. You got a gift, that's not reality. You know what I mean? You got things you like, that's not reality. Cassie, you got a new dress, that's not reality. The only reality is the substantiating of Christ. When Christ was experienced by you genuinely. Amen. Oh, then you say, I'm full. Amen. I don't want anything else. Amen. How about that, brother?
Amen. I'm full.
Yeah.
I don't want anything else.
You see, now he got reality. Amen. If you check with me, I say, I got reality. I don't want anything. You say, you want stones. That was when I was wanting stones. I don't want stones now. At this moment, I don't want stones. I got a reality because I'm fellowshipping with you. The more I fellowship, the more I have the grace, the more I have the grace, the more I have the reality. Am I right? Let's go real fast. I'm sorry. Then we have the satisfaction. We have the satisfaction. That is John 2:10. Now you have Christ as your satisfaction. That is a good wine. When Christ grants you the satisfaction, this satisfaction is real. It's the best satisfaction. This kind of satisfaction cannot be replaced. You'll have to say, this is the highest satisfaction. Am I right? And more than that, then you have the true freedom. Now, the world cannot bind you. Now, the sin cannot bind you. Now, nothing can bother you. Why? Because you got the grace, you got the reality, you got the satisfaction, and you got the true freedom. You got what you need. All what you need is realized, experienced, substantially, subjectively experienced in your spirit. Sister, do you know what I mean?
Amen.
Now you don't have any ache.
Right.
Why? Because you have released your spirit. All those aches are released away by spirit. Hallelujah. You know, then you have, I give you the true freedom, the verses, chapter 8, 32 and 36, right? You shall know the truth will make you free. Right, if sin will make you free, you are free indeed. How come the truth can make you free? It is not by doctrinally. Doctrinal, I know this and that. It is by the enjoyment of grace. You enjoy Christ's life. You enjoy Christ as grace. When grace comes into you, reality comes. When reality comes, satisfaction comes. When satisfaction comes, true freedom comes. When true freedom comes, now you can say, I'm free. I'm free from everything. Then you have what? You have the resurrection. You are above everything. That is in chapter 11, verse 25. Christ says, I am the resurrection. Who are in resurrection? The one who are in the resurrection is the one who enjoy life. By enjoy life, he also enjoy grace. In grace, he has reality. In reality, he has satisfaction. In satisfaction, he has true freedom. When you have true freedom, he's in resurrection. You know? Kathy, I'm sorry. Why should you sit in the front row? Next time, would you sit in the back? I cannot see you. I tell you, you girls cannot be free from your hair. Do you agree with me? You would always look at the mirror. You're not free. Am I right? I tell you, and you boys cannot be free from your smartness. I'm not joking. Look, John. Modern. You stand up and you let everybody look. You are the most modern people in this room. Why? You see all the, look, you see? Just shoes. Thank you, brother. Don't think I'm laughing. Everybody, hardly to see we're in resurrection. In resurrection means above everything. I'm above all the things. I don't care about my hair. I don't care about my dress. I don't care about my problem. I don't care about my job. I don't care about my study. I don't care about my future. I don't care about my dating. I don't care about whatever. I care about nothing. Why? Because I am right in resurrection. Let me ask you, you know, sister, are you caring for anything now? You see? Why is it no? Do you know why no? Because she was just there, released her spirit. Enjoy the grace. Then he has reality. Then he has satisfaction. Then he has true freedom. Then he has resurrection. He's above everything.
Amen.
Am I right, brother? Do you agree with me?
Amen.
I tell you that is true. You must enjoy Christ in this way, then your Christian life will be so high. You know, brother, do you understand what I say? I'm sorry, I come back to you, sister. You know, we need this true freedom. We need to be in resurrection. I am the resurrection. But you need the resurrection, take life. The word of life, the water of life, the what? The light of life, and the word of life, the bread of life, right? And also, you have to enjoy the life as a grace to you. The grace, right? The reality, then what? The satisfaction, then what? The true freedom, then what? The resurrection. I think, then, okay, as a way, then you know what's what. As a way. Chapter 14, verse 6. I just give you one more point. As a true union. As a true union. That is saying, I'm the true vine. This is a famous verse. You know, all the Christians says, I'm the true vine. I know this verse. But you know, nobody understands it. Not nobody, very few. Most would say, I'm the true vine means Jesus Christ is a trunk and we are the branch. Right? Isn't that say, I'm the true vine and ye are the branches? Jesus Christ is not the trunk. The trunk is also us. He is the life of vine. How could you divide the life of vine and the branch itself? You have no way. There's a real union between the life of the vine and the vine tree. In a sense, the vine tree is just Christ. We are expressed the riches of the vine tree as branches. So there's a true union. Now, I go further, 5 more minutes, right? Then, point D, A, B, C, D, and point D, enjoy the commission of Christ. In John, there are some commission. And all the commission are so enjoyable. Christ did have some commission to us. And all these commission are not what requirement or something so enjoyable. First, he said, love one another. The first commission, the brothers, you love one another, right? That is chapter 15, verse 12. The first commission, the brothers and sisters, we all have to learn to love one another to a place where what? We forsake our lives. How Christ loved us. We also should love one another. In a sense, we even would come to a place, lay down our lives for what? For our brother's sake. This is the first commission the Lord has given to us. Secondly, keep the oneness. Right? He said that he should be one even as we are one. Brothers, in Christianity, the love was very degraded. The love is just a matter of exchange of gift, exchange of favor. Do you know what I mean? I do something for you, you do something for me, therefore we love each other. I sick, you take me to hospital. You sick, I take you to hospital. That is very degraded love. The love is a love of imparting life, even as Christ loved us. How Christ loved us? Christ loved us by imparting his life to us. Am I right? Then in such a life, in such love, you will be able to keep this oneness. Today the body is divided. Why the body is divided? Because no one loves one another. They all love the doctrine. I love the doctrine I believe. You love the doctrine you believe. I love the practice I have. You love the practice you have. I'm sprinkling and you are immersion. I immersion one time, two times, three times. And you sprinkling how many times? Straightward, forward, backward, upward, downward. And, salt water, lake water, and what? Jordan River water and steam water, whatever. You know, all kind of regulations. Just on this matter of baptism, that will scare you. People, they don't realize love. They don't realize how, when we are baptized into one body, we're baptized into a life that surely our care, our being, goes to other brothers and sisters. They don't realize this. By Lord's mercy, this is recovered among us. Brother, we all need to keep this. You know, now we're saved. We're saved into the church life. So what should we do? We should learn, be before the Lord. Enjoy life, enjoy grace, then what? Love one another. Give our life to another. Give our person to another. More than that, do our best. Endeavor to keep the oneness. Don't fight for practice. Don't argue about doctrines. They are not important. As long as you can get people saved. As long as you can tell them Jesus is Savior. All these are important. Beside this, you know, what kind of water, how to be baptized, forward, backward, straightward, upward, downward, let them go. Should we have a choir? Shouldn't we have a choir? You know what I mean? We believe in pastor. We believe in presbytership. Forget all these things. We don't need them. What we need is we are one. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brother, we are one.
Amen.
Today, we can be so bold and say, among us, there's one treasure. That we love each other,
amen.
And we are one.
Amen.
Aren't you happy about this?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, Lord has found some Christians. They surely don't care about anything else. They really care for the love of one another, and they really care for the oneness. The oneness was in John 17, verse 11. And thirdly, the third commission was, feed my lamb. Feed the lamb, or feed the sheep. Right? That is in John 21, 15, last part. 15b, 16 last part, and 17 last part. Three times. The first time is feed my lamb. Second time, shepherd my sheep. Third time, feed my sheep. But basically, it's one thing. Nobody is too young. Do you know, brother, you are not too young. You have to learn one thing. You have to feed somebody. Do you know, brother, are you going to be baptized today? Oh, you cannot, okay. But whatever that is, you need to feed somebody. Don't say, I'm barely saved.
Okay, careful. Anybody else? Don't say this. Don't say this. At least there will be a lamb. It's not a sheep because you are too little. But a lamb can take care of a lamb. At least there are some lamb in the body life for you to care for. Do you know what's your problem, sister? You don't have a lamb to care for. How about that? How about that, Cassie? Do you agree with me? Too bad. Am I right? You need to say, Lord, I'm so thankful that I have you to enjoy as life. I have you to enjoy as grace. Then what? There are three commissions. First, love one another. Give our being to each other. And secondly, keep the oneness. We only care for oneness. We don't care for doctrine or practice. And thirdly, we all have to feed somebody. Do you get somebody to feed upon? Oh, praise the Lord. That is wonderful. How about you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, let me ask, how about you?
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. John, you have someone to feed on?
Amen.
Amen. How about you, brother?
I do.
Oh, hallelujah. We all shouldn't say, oh, I'm too young. It's not my turn. With 3 years later, I'll do the job. Don't say this. Today, even now, as long as you have the life of Christ, learn to feed somebody.
Amen.
Learn to feed some land.
Amen.
Because Lord asks you, don't be by yourself. Don't just care for yourself. Care for the new ones. Care for the young ones. Care for the unbelievers. Love one another. Keep the oneness and feed the lamb. These are the three commissions in the book of Gospel according to John. May the Lord be merciful to us. I realize now is the time to have some baptism. Surely I like to have a little prayer. How about just two, three brothers pray? We say, Lord, we want to take the commission. We want to answer you. We want to enjoy you as life, enjoy you as grace. Then I also want to do this. Walk into the meeting late. And think about, isn't that wonderful? When all the people, in a sense, are waiting for their presence. And when they walk into the meeting, they have the authority to call a song. They have authority to tell you what verses to read, and you have no choice but read the verses. And they are the ones stand up and tell you what to do and share the message. Even at the end, they rebuke you, tell you you come into a meeting late, even though they themselves also come to 7:30. They tell you come 7:15. Isn't this some privilege for the leading ones? Do you appreciate this? You are a sister. You may never dream to be a leading one. Did you ever appreciate this? Then you look at Mary Coleman, stood up. Oh, when could I share something like this? How about that? And Mary, how about that? Someday I stand up, sisters, let me tell you. The brothers look at other brothers. Oh, all the leading ones. Oh, all the leading sisters. Oh, when best free. That spirit. That is really good. When did I get it? Then, the coordinators, the way they coordinate. Oh, when can I be a coordinator? Oh, I want to be a coordinator. Oh, if I can be a coordinator, you allow me by saying so. Since I come back from Far East to Cleveland, not 2 years yet, many brothers, most not brothers, most are sisters, come, talk with me. Titus, let's be honest. I've been in the church life 2 years, 3 years, 4 years already. I see those brothers I take care of. Now they are coordinators, and I am still not a coordinator. And some wouldn't beg for them. They would beg for their husband. You know, come, brother, you know,
my husband really is a good brother. Surely, I said, oh, sure, I know this brother. He's really a good brother. Oh, you know, Brother Titus, he's such a good brother, but he sometimes gets depressed. Then I know what's going to come, but I still ask why. Oh, you know, he sees all the brothers. They are coordinators. But for some reason, my husband was never the coordinator. I just don't understand. You know, Brother so-and-so, he's younger than my husband. He's a coordinator. Brother so-and-so, he's younger than my husband. Now he ministers Sunday morning. But my husband, seems the church never used him. And the more the church don't use him, the more he gets depressed. The more he couldn't function. You know, Titus, he really should be in the coordinatorship. Oh, I tell you, this is a surely put me on the spot. I just don't know how to answer. Usually I would say, sister, we just pray for him. And what can you do? And let Lord be his encouragement. And usually I always apply to these brothers. I would fellowship with the brothers, see how they say. So give me out of hook. You know, brothers, what is this? It was very peculiar. When you're in the church life, you love the Lord. Am I right? You love the church. Am I right? Your desire is for the Lord. Your desire is for the church. But for some reason, consciously, unconsciously, for some reason, wow, Lord Jesus, our heart was taken by something. I would call it a work, was taken, quote, by a work. We turn the church life into a work, into a spiritual organization. And we feel in these organizations that there are different, what should I say, different stages. It's not really a good word. Different levels. Rank, levels. Different levels of people. The leading ones, one level. One day Lewis counted to me. The leading ones, first level. Coordinator of the service office, the second level. Coordinator of the college work, of the young people's work, of the beginners meeting, the third level. Coordinators of the services, the fourth level. Then all the brothers are laity. They are the fifth level. You know, he didn't say this way. Of course, Lewis is much more spiritual than this. So he didn't say this way. He just told me how so many brothers feel about these kind of things. And when I heard it, let me tell you, I fully agree with him. I don't believe he exaggerates. For some reason in our heart, if we don't care about the church life, we don't care. Once we care about the church life, then immediately we put something more than the Lord into the practical church life, which I would call it a poison. We immediately put some poisoning in the practical church life. When the life in the church is so strong, then what? Your poison was swallowed up. So there's no problem. But when the life in the church is short, when the life in the church is weak, which I tell you, let me prophesy, predict, even though I don't like to see it happen, every church would have to go through these stages. Sometimes life is very high, sometimes life is a little bit low, right? Then it's very high, then it's kind of low. Brothers, let me tell you, when the life is kind of low, all these leprosies, all these poison parts will be just manifest out and will cause great trouble, big trouble, to the practical, proper church life. Did you see how serious this is? Now, I should share with you the beginning of the mighty burden now. Okay, we have seen all these, and we should acknowledge that all these are improper. They are no good. Now, what is a good way? What is proper? What is normal to bring us into, or to bring us
to be a proper serving one? What is the best way to bring us into the reality of being a healthy serving one? Do you desire to serve? No doubt. I don't believe any brother likes to be poisoned. I believe this is something under our subconscious. We never allow it to come up. We never even talk about it. We never even allow us to think about it. But when the situation rises up, the things rise up. Do you know what is my biggest concern in these 2 days? My biggest concern is those who find out they are not in this room, what would they say? I'm not joking. I'm holding the phone all the time waiting. Somebody call. Titus, why not me? I'm offended. I wouldn't be surprised when you go back, your bodies will tell you, what Titus covering that meeting? What did he cover? Is that anything special for the special person only? Or you better tell them, oh, the tapes are available to everybody. There's nothing special, just the room is too small. And next time if you want to take my place, go. Sit on my chair. I'll go outside. There's nothing unusual. I'll listen to the tape. It's to replace you. You know, brothers, I'm afraid unconsciously something there in our person waiting for a chance to come that we can come out. Now, brothers, tonight I just share with you 2 things. That is a basic concept you must see. If you have not seen it, then let me tell you, the following messages, the following sharings will all be in vain. Nothing works unless what we share tonight was made clear. First is what we mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6. There it tells us, when you begin to learn, when you begin to grow in the church life, the growth will bring you from a self-centered Christian into a normal, functioning member in the body life. When you want to be a normal, functioning member in the body life, first you ought to see that this is a spiritual fight. In a sense, the church life is a fighting life. In a sense, the recovery is the Lord's desire, fighting with Christianity. If you take my word properly, I tell you, you just listen, and you take the notes, and you brothers mark it down, saying that I have said it. 10 years later, we are going to confront more difficulties than we are having today regarding to Christianity. Unless we died. Unless we are cool off. Unless we lost our stand. Unless we are no longer the testimony of the recovery of the Lord, but rather what? Laodicea, holding the name warm, yet without much reality. If we are having reality as today, if we are holding on reality as today, brothers, let me tell you, the fighting will just grow, fills and fills and fills. Is that word fills? Harder. Fierce. Fierce and fierce and fierce. Harder and harder. Don't be surprised many Christians don't understand you. Don't be surprised many Christians were criticized about us. Let me tell you, if we are right, they are wrong. That is clear. Once you take this stand, if we are right, you are wrong. For sure, they have to prove we are wrong, they are right. Otherwise, they cannot be in existing. Is that clear to you? So, brothers, you have to realize the church life is more than just come to the meeting, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and just Lord in our spirit, and go back, and so satisfied, and sit in front of the box. The church life is a fight. If it is a fight, all the soldiers know. If it's a fight, it's a 24-hour deal a day. 24-hour-day deal. Otherwise, there's no fight. Whenever there's a fight, unless the commander-in-chief tell you, now is your leave. Now is your vacation. 24 hours a day, you have to hold on everything. Where I was in the army, I know. Where will be the bandage? You don't use it, huh?
Legging?
Huh? Your legging always is beside your pillow. Am I right? Your rifle is always beside your hand. One day, any sound come out, in maybe 2-3 minutes, the legging is on, the dress is on, the armor is on, run to a proper place, ready to fight. Am I right? Brother, you have to know this. The church life, practically, is a fighting life. With the church life, there is not too much easy time for us to enjoy. I hope some of you brothers who are in the church life very short, don't get scared. You know, sister, do I scare you? No? How about you, sister? What's your name? Oh, until now. Let me tell you, the church life is a fighting life. It is a fighting in the sense you're going this way. Either by Lord's mercy, the testimony was raised up. The Christians are awake, begin to see what God is doing. Christianity will fall. If Christianity is in trouble, do you know what I mean? The Babylon is fallen. Our Christianity swallowed you up. One day you turn yourself into another group in Christianity. Do you know what I'm talking about? Come to the church on Sunday. Maybe we offer more money than them. Maybe we can shout the praise the Lord louder than them due to the basic training we have. But let me tell you, that is not the fight. That does not prove Lord has gained what he desired. Our church life is a fighting life. Our fighting is not with Christians, so take it properly. We love all the Christians. We never want to even identify Christians with their denominations. We just want to identify Christians as Christians and have fellowship together. But I tell you, with organization, the organization will look at you and the organization will say, here is something. If they can go on, we have no way. Is that clear to you? Brothers and sisters, we have to know the church life is a fight. And this fight is a serious fight. A fight concerning the fate of the recovery of the Lord. So in this fighting, we have no time to play around. We have no time to be at ease, to do whatever we think is right. This is a fight. In this fight, God does desire to have an army. It is an army that wins the victory.